We are considering the theme of worship in our morning services, and that song seems to tie into that theme and that study. We are studying the theme of worship because it is essential for us to investigate a topic such as worship, because it is both foundational doctrinally and yet all the while very practical for us. Tonight we're going to begin to study another topic that is found in the Word of God. This topic is an immense topic, and it carries with it ramifications for generations to come if the Lord tarries. Tonight I want to begin a consideration of the Christian home, and primarily a consideration of parenting. I have entitled our series, Basic Training, Parenting, God's Way. Before we begin to take up our topic and our study, let's bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to come to investigate and study your word concerning themes and topics that are of great importance in this generation. Topics that have ramification in the years to come. So, Father, I pray that you would guide us and direct us as we begin a study of this theme. And that, Lord, you would direct our thoughts. And Lord, that you would direct and guide our words. And Lord, that you would teach us from thy word through this study. We'll thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Some may begin to wonder, Pastor, why study the theme of parenting at this juncture within our church? Most within our church are beyond the stage in their lives, and many who have children are mainly with youth, so there's only a few years left for them. So why even study the theme at all? Is it really a relevant topic for our church? The answer to that question is yes, it is relevant for us to consider together as a church family. Although many within our church are beyond the stage in their life where they are parenting any longer, there are still vital lessons for you to learn to help you to be able to encourage and counsel those who are now rearing their children, whether that be your grandchildren or whether that be those within your own family. It is also relevant because those who are still in the process of parenting are still in the process of parenting. That has not yet come to an end, and we need as parents to ever be learning and helping our children achieve their God-ordained destination. Finally, and maybe more so in my mind than anything else, I think it is relevant because our own young people are growing up, and soon they're going to enter into the stage of their life where they will marry, and God will bless them with families of their own. The time for them to learn how to be good and godly parents is before, not after, they become parents. It's important that they would even learn now the truth, the principles of God's word, allow those seeds to be sown within their own heart, that as their families begin, they would be able to begin on the solid foundation of God's eternal truth. Sometimes I've had folks ask things like this: well, Pastor, what books have you read on parenting? Where did you get your thoughts on the family or the home life? And my answer is often the same. I got it when I was a teenager, and my pastor taught us the truth from God's word. Those were seeds of thought that entered into my mind, that God was able to germinate in my heart and life, that by the time I came to the point that I was ready to marry and begin a family, that I had already thought, I'd already considered those principles from God's word, because they came at a time in my youth where my pastor taught us God's Word. I'm hoping and trusting that we would be able to plant some seed tonight that over the course of the years would begin to germinate in the lives of our youth, that they would be able to begin their family life on a solid foundation of God's eternal truth. Tonight, before we specifically take up the thought of parenting, I want to talk to you about the concept of establishing the biblical foundation of parenting. I want to begin to lay the groundwork, the foundation upon which the home is built, upon which the principles of parenting rest. It's important that you and I understand the foundation upon which God has established the home. And God has established even the principles of parenting. As we begin tonight, I want you to turn to Psalm 127. And we're going to begin to consider what I've called the importance of God's presence. It's a foundational truth. Psalm 127. As we consider the home, as we consider how we would parent, how would we rear up our children to bring them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord, it's important that we grasp the truth found in this psalm. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1, says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." A physical house is only as strong as the foundation upon which it has been laid. And so it is true within a spiritual house, that a spiritual house is only as strong as its foundation. Therefore, our goal is to help us establish a biblical foundation upon which our homes can be built, that they should be built, and a foundation upon which we develop our philosophy in the realm of parenting. Tonight, I want you to consider with me first and foremost from this passage that the success of our home is not found in our resolve. It is found in our reliance. As you begin to process the thoughts of parenting and rearing of children and bringing them up in the Lord, it is important that we understand that the success of our home is not found in our resolve, it is found in our reliance. Look again at verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Except God build the house, all of our labors are in vain. It is not your resolve, it is not your labor that is important in the bringing up of a godly generation. It is your reliance upon God and upon His Word. Except the Lord build the house. Folks, when we begin to talk about anything related to the family, as we begin to talk about things related to our parenting and the bringing up of children, we must be reminded that within our home, God's presence is paramount. In your parenting and in the philosophy that you choose in the bringing up of those children, God must be ever present in your mind and in your thinking. It is not your resolve that will bring about success. It is not your effort. It is not your labor. It is your reliance upon God and upon His Word. I want you to see a couple things with me tonight. Number one, a godly home is possible only when God is present in the home. That is a foundational truth that we cannot let go of. You cannot build a godly home without God being in your home. Without God being the center of your home. You cannot build a godly home on humanistic thought. You cannot build a godly home through worldly philosophy. You can only build a godly home when God is present in your home. Except the Lord build the house. All of our labors are in vain. Our dependence must be first and foremost divine. It has to be reliance upon God, for it is God who builds a home. Let me remind you what it says in verse 3. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. So, Pastor, what's that mean? Foundational, folks, children belong to God. That's what the word heritage means. Children belong to God. They're His. They are gifted to us. You and I have to lay hold of that. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It was God that brought them into your home. He made them who they are, and He entrusted them to you. Mom and Dad, step back and look at your children tonight. Give some thought and consideration to them tonight. Everything about them and all that they are is there because they belong to God and He made them who they are. All those interesting things that you look in your children and make you smile are from Him. He made them that way. All those little quirks that drive you wild, He made them that way. Children belong to the Lord. They are the heritage of the Lord. He has entrusted it to you. They're His heritage, not yours. They're not mine. They are also His reward. Know what that means? Children are a blessing. They're not a burden. That's important when it comes to parenting. Because sometimes for folks, parenting becomes a burden and it's not a blessing. But children are a blessing, not a burden. And parents, we can never forget, it's a blessing to be a parent. It's not a burden to train them in the way they should go. Next, would you see with me that a Christian home is not Christian because Christians live in the home. A Christian home is Christian when Christ is the center of a home. It is not a Christian home just because there are saved members of your home. There are people that constitute a home and they're saved that don't act much like a Christian home. A Christian home is Christian when Christ is present in the home. That's an important fact for us to consider in weeks to come. Third, would you consider with me that all efforts to build our home apart from God are futile. The home was not founded in human wisdom. It is God who ordained it. And the home will fail in human wisdom because it is God that maintains it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All human effort is futile. All human effort leads to is frustration. If we are going to raise our families and to rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to guide them in the way that they should go, then folks, we have to be reliant upon God. It's not about your resolve as a parent to bring them up. It's your reliance upon God and upon His Word. Christ has to be the center. God's Word and God's way must supersede all other thoughts. And if you and I find ourselves at odds with God's Word, then you and I need to adjust our thoughts and our philosophy and not set aside the Word of God. All human effort is but futile. Second, I want you to notice with me this thought. The security of our home is found not in our power, but in God's protection. Look again at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. The security of our home is not found in our power. It is found in God's protection. I think all of us recognize that the Christian home is under attack. Families are under attack. The devil would like to do nothing more than to destroy your home, to destroy your children. It's under attack. How do we protect them? In our power? In our might? By our wisdom? It's not you. It's the Lord. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. As I think about that, I think about the days of King Hezekiah. The Syrian army, is surrounding the city. There is no way that Judah stands. There's no way Jerusalem survives. Every other city has fallen. Every other city has been burned. And God says, stand still, and I'll show you my salvation. And God destroyed the Syrian army right outside the gate of Jerusalem. Why? It's not in our power that we protect our home. It is God that protects the home. It is not your wisdom. It is not your knowledge that will keep your children from going astray. Our trust needs to be placed in the Lord to keep them from the evil one. Remember Ephesians chapter 6? We're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. To do what? Take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battles that we face are not physical battles. The battles that we face are spiritual battles. And the security of your home is not found in your power. It is not found in your wisdom or your might. It is found in God alone. And folks, that is something that we have to first settle in our own heart and in our own mind before we ever take on the thoughts of the principles of parenting. It is not what we do. It is not on our resolve or not in our power. It is in our reliance upon God and His ability to protect our children. And let me change that a little bit. Protect His children. What will keep your child from going astray?
You coming up with your plan and your scheme to protect them, it'll fail. Because except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's not up to you. It's up to God. They are His heritage entrusted to you. How are we going to care for them? How do we bring them up in the way they ought to go? According to His Word. The foundation of our parenting and our reliance has to be on God and His Word. Yeah, folks, too many parents are setting aside the principles of the Bible for worldly philosophy that will never work. You say, well, it works in the world. Of course it does. They're not under attack. Are they? Satan's not taking out his own side. He doesn't bother with them. But he will bother with you as you seek to bring up your children according to the ways of the Lord. Foundational to our parenting is an ultimate trust in the Lord. There's another thought I want you to see with me, and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment. Genesis chapter 1. I want us to see and understand the importance of following God's plan. The importance of following God's plan. Before we talk about any principles concerning the bringing up of children, we have to understand that God has a plan, and it began in the beginning. It is God that established the home. It is God who ordained it. By the way, the home is the first thing, the first institution God ordained. Before human government and before the church, God made the home. And the home is foundational to society. It is foundational to the church. No church is any stronger than the individual families that make up the church. You cannot have weak families and have a strong church. Just like you cannot have a strong society without strong families. It's impossible. They're the foundation of it all. You can't have a solid building with a weak foundation. If you build your life upon the sand, when the wind comes and the rains begin to fall and the floods begin to rise, the house on the sand, according to the song says, goes splat. It falls. It crumbles. So as we look to talk about our homes, it's important that we follow God's plan. Look at Genesis 1, look at verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Notice, male and female created He them. It is God who made us, and He made us both male and female, and male and female make up a home. Here's what I want you to understand about God's plan. God established the home in parity. God established the home in parity. First and foremost, you have to understand that God created us all equal, male and female. Within the home, God made us all equal in His eyes. Within the home, we are created equal. All are created in the image of God. There is an equality in all relationships. Husband and wife, parent and child. Why? Because each member of the family is created in the image of God. You and I have to reckon that and understand that. Every child in our home was made in the image of God. Your spouse is made in the image of God. He created us all according to His image. And although sin has brought about struggles within the home, we have to strive in all that we do to see one another as God sees them and treat them the way God would treat them. Now, folks, although we were created equally in the image of God, it is true that we all have various roles to fulfill. But those roles that we fulfill are not to be used in a way that harms the image of God. Each member needs to learn to accept their role as God has ordained for them. But no role makes us superior or inferior. We are created equal in the eyes of God. And we ought to treat one another in the same way. Woe to a parent that treats a child like their slave. Woe to the child that mistreats their children because they're equal in the eyes of Almighty God. That child's created in the image of God. Next, I want you to see with me and note with me that God established the home in perfection. Look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God established the home in perfection. At the end of the sixth day, the family unit was established. And here's what God said. It was very good. Now, God had looked over creation all along the process. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, and said, it is good. On the sixth day, after He created man and established the home, He said, it is very good. Man was the crowning jewel of God's creation. Man made in the image and likeness of God. All of God's creation brings glory to God, but man is able also to fellowship with God. So the home that God created, God said, was very good. Here's what that phrase means. It means nothing could be added to make it better, or nothing should be taken away to make it better. What we learn from that is simply this: the home that God created was perfect. The institution as it was established was flawless. God made the home in perfection. Now you might say, well, Pastor, here's where you and I are going to differ on this point. My family is not perfect. I didn't say your family was perfect. I said God created the family in perfection. Our spouses and our children and ourselves are all full of flaws. We have our problems. But what God ordained and what He established was established in perfection. There was no mistake. One man, one woman, one lifetime, and from that one, He would bring forth others to replenish the earth. In His timing and in His way. What He ordained was perfect. You and I are marred, but what God made was not marred. It is not the institution of the home that's a problem. It is not the plan or the purpose of the home that God established. That's the problem. What is flawed and what is damaged are the people now in the home. We are sinners. And we have to learn to live according to God's plan, because what He established was perfect. And folks, all throughout the pages of His Word, God gives to us those principles of how we ought to run our home. He tells us how we ought to live as husband and wife, and He tells us how to live as family, parents, and children. The flaw is not with God if things go wrong. The flaws are with us when things go wrong. We have to be willing to live according to the law of God. All blame for imperfection has to be laid at our feet, not at God's. What He made perfect. One other thought before we close. God established the home in permanence. God established the home in permanence. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What God created, God established to be permanent. He made a man, and for that man He made a woman. He brought them together, the one to be the perfect helpmate for the other. The man was to leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two be one flesh. God says that union is to be a permanent union. Folks, the problem within the homes today is that we are always looking for our way out when problems arise. When it comes to the home, what God established was a permanent fixture. And the principles that He gave to us work in every generation of time. He established the home in permanence. It is God who chose what is best and who is best for your home. Your spouse was perfectly chosen for you by God, and your children were not a mistake. God is the one who brought it all together. He chose what and who was best, and He designed it to be permanent. All of that, folks, is said as a foundation for us to consider how we train and bring up our children. Because if we don't understand what God ordained, then when we share the principles of it all, we'll begin to look and find holes within the process, because we'll look at it and say, well, from a human standpoint, that doesn't seem to make sense. And folks, sometimes what God says from a human standpoint don't make sense. Right? To the children of Israel, said, walk around Jericho 7 times and I'll deliver it for you on 7 days. That makes sense to you? Didn't make sense to me. But it fell. And they conquered without any problem. David, go defeat Goliath. Take with you just stones. Make sense to you? Not to me. But David said, is there not a cause? The Lord is on my side. And he had victory. Some things we look at and we talk about as a family, we say, but the world and our wisdom, that doesn't make sense. But it's right, because God in His Word says so. Where do we get the foundation? Well, understand that you and I have to be willing, as we serve and as we seek to bring up our family, to understand the importance of God's presence. It is not in our resolve that things will turn out okay. It is in our reliance upon the Lord. It is not by our power that they will be protected. It is only as God keeps watch over us. And we have to understand the importance of following God's plan. He's the one who established the home. He's the one who ordained these things so. He's the one that has given us the guidebook to help us in our families. And so we have to rely upon His Word. Why is this so important? Because we're to be an example of the believer in word and in our conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. For those that go behind us, we're to stand in a gap and make a difference in their life. God ordained it so. God ordained the family, He ordained the Christian home, and He ordained that parents would bring up children in the ways of the Lord. Those children aren't ours. They're entrusted to us by Almighty God. And we have a responsibility to manage their lives, and as we'll see in the weeks to come, to train them in the way they need to go. Why? Because they're arrows in the hands of mighty men, and God has a target for them to hit. It's our job to get them to that target that He ordained. Let's pray together as we close.